In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Who knew that their heart had eyes? How many eyes does your heart have? When the Bible talks about our heart, it's not just the organ that pumps our blood, but it refers to our deepest self. That's what's most us about us. And that's what we want God to touch. That's what we want to see the Lord among us. And when we do, we cry, "Holy, holy, holy," which anticipates the vision of Isaiah from our first reading. It's what echoes in heaven in the presence of the Lord. Lord, open the eyes of our heart. We ask God's grace now to examine our conscience so that we might see Him among us. Examine our conscience so that we can acknowledge our sins and purify our hearts and run to the throne of grace for the mercy and help we need.
You are sent to heal the contrite. Lord, have mercy. You came to call sinners. Christ, have mercy. You plead for us at the right hand of the Father. Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting. Let us pray. Father, watch over your family and keep us safe in your care, for all our hope is in you. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. I want to say a special hello and welcome to those who are with us at home, and I want to acknowledge and welcome all those who are especially here for our family mass, especially oriented around our children and featuring some of our young people doing our lectory.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, with the train of his garment filling the temple. Seraphim were stationed above. The king cried to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is filled with his glory." At the sound of that cry, the frame of the door shook, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the Lord, the King of the Lord of hosts." Then one of seraphim flew to me, holding an ember that had been taken with tongs of the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, See, now that this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed, your sin is purged. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Here I am, I said, send me, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord. In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart, for you have heard the words of my mouth. In the presence of the angels, I will sing your praise. I will worship at your holy temple and give thanks to your name. In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord. Because of your kindness and your truth, for you have made great above all things your name and your promise. When I called, you answered me. You built up strength within me. In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord. All the kings of the earth shall give thanks to you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. Great is the glory of the Lord. In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord. Your right hand saves me. The Lord will complete what he has done for me. Your kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands. In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I handed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. After that, he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one abnormally born, he appeared to me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Praise the Lord.
While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked them to put out a short distance from shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish that they had made seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. If the kids would like to come up, they're free to do so. How are you guys this morning? Are you ready and excited about the football game? Okay, maybe not. Okay. Do you guys like to be alive though? Okay, good. Because God wanted each one of you to exist because he loves you. God called each of you into existence. Each one of you is a miracle. Don't take my word for it. Just ask your mom what it's like to have another life inside of you, to be pregnant with a child. Okay, what do you guys want to be when you grow up? A teacher. Very good thing.
Part of the military?
Oh, in the military. That's a very good thing to do too. A dentist. Very interesting. Very good. A teacher? Oh, very good. Very, very helpful. You guys want to do things that help people. That's very good. Well, the things that you guys mentioned are jobs, which is quite obvious. But aside from a job, your parents are also, because your parents have jobs too. But aside from their jobs, your parents are also fathers and mothers, husbands and wives. Being a father or a mother or a husband or a wife is what we call a vocation. So marriage is a vocation, okay? And being a priest is a vocation. Can your parents ever not be your parents? Okay, no. They will be the parents for the rest of your lives, the rest of eternity. So ideally, marriage lasts for the rest of your life. And Father Bob will be a priest for the rest of his life, and actually for the rest of eternity as well. Okay, who here has to help clean around the house? Okay, a couple lucky people don't have to, that's good. So what kinds of jobs do you guys have to do? Do the dishes? Okay, yep. What was that? Take out the garbage? Clean up your room? Clean the toilet. My least favorite job. Okay, so sometimes you guys are toilet cleaners, sometimes you're garbage persons, sometimes you're dishwashers. So our jobs can change, right? So our jobs can change, but ideally our vocations, once we enter into them, last the rest of our lives. So there's a difference between our job and our vocation. Okay, now the word vocation comes from a Latin word, vocare. Can you guys say that? Vocare. Okay, Father, you have a bunch of Latin scholars now. Okay. Can anyone remember which book of the Bible the first reading was from? What? Jesus was born. Well, that would be the first book of the New Testament. But what was the first book of the first reading from? Isaiah. Very good. So in the first reading, we hear about Isaiah's call to be a prophet for God. So Isaiah's vocation was to be a prophet. Now, do you remember some of the things that happened right before God called Isaiah to be a prophet? This is kind of a tough question. Do any of you remember? Okay. Isaiah saw God. He saw angels singing. The door shook. The house was filled with smoke. And one of the angels talked to him. So that probably doesn't happen to you very often, does it? Okay. So God asked Isaiah, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah responds by saying, "Here I am, send me." Do you guys ever have something kind of like a voice or something inside your head that tells you what's right and wrong, what to do or not to do? Yeah, very good. You just skipped about 5 of my lines. Thank you. Yes, so we all have this voice in our head called a conscience, and it's given to us by God. So it's God's voice in our heart. Therefore, we should do what our conscience tells us to do. It's there as a gift from God to help us to do what is right. So we should do what it says. However, even though our conscience tells us what's right and wrong, and we should follow what it says, we also have a duty, or we are supposed to help grow or form our conscience to help us learn and what is right and wrong. So what are some ways that we can form our conscience? Don't do bad things anymore. How about like listening to your parents? They can be a source of what's right and wrong. Always doing good deeds. Listening to your teachers. Be kind to your friends. Your friends can teach you what is right and wrong. We can also read the Bible. The Bible might tell us more what's right and wrong. Yeah, we can be giving and help other people. Yep, that will teach us what's right and wrong. We can learn what the Catholic Church teaches and why. We could also read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, or we could read letters and documents from the Catholic Church as well. So just as Isaiah became a prophet as God asked him to, we too should do what God tells us to do, especially in our conscience. So we too can say, along with Isaiah, "Here I am, send me." Do any of you like to go fishing? Oh, quite a few. It's good. In the gospel, Some men had just gotten done fishing, and you know what? They hadn't caught anything. Who else can relate to that? Okay, yeah. Often when I fish, I don't catch a whole lot either. So Jesus asked Peter to take him out in one of the boats so he can teach the crowd from the boat. And after he's done teaching the crowd, Jesus asked Peter to lower the nets. Now, Peter could have refused, and it would have kind of made sense because they had tried it earlier in the night and they hadn't caught anything at all. But Peter trusted Jesus, so he lowered the nets anyways. They caught lots and lots of fish. And we too should trust our parents and teachers and do what they ask, even if we don't understand why. We should also trust God as well. So Jesus tells Peter and his buddies James and John that they are no longer going to catch fish, but instead they are going to catch men. What do you think Jesus meant when he told them that they would be catching people? What do you think Jesus meant? Were they going to, like, tackle them and catch them that way? Yeah, they were going to help them. And what ways were they going to help them? Exactly, they were going to help them believe in God. So they were going to catch people and teach them about Jesus and about God so that they could come to believe in God. So the apostles, Peter, James, and John, said yes to Jesus, to his call to bring people to God. And they said yes to the vocation of being apostles. And we too should be willing to do whatever God asks. So when you're older, God might call you to get married, or he might call you to be a priest, or he might call you to be a nun or a sister. Now, growing up, when I was your age, or maybe just a little older, I knew that I was going to go to college, get married, get a job, grow old, and die. That's just what I thought everyone was supposed to do. But God had other plans. He called me to be a priest. So don't assume that you know what God is calling you to do. So we have to keep an open mind and just keep listening to God. But right now, your vocation is to be the best son or daughter or brother or sister you can be and to learn what is right and wrong. What God calls us to do might not be easy, but we can trust that he is calling us, that if we do what he is calling us to do, it will bring us true happiness. Therefore, it's in our best interest to say to God, "Here I am, send me." Thank you very much. Okay, we'll see you later, okay?